Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Cause of All Causes, title of chapter. I create, after the Lord's creation, by His personal effulgence known as the Brahma Jyoti, just as when the sun manifests its fire, the moon, the firmament, the influential planets and the twinkling stars also manifest their brightness. When the sun manifests its fire, then the moon, the firmament, the influential planets and the twinkling stars also manifest their brightness. So Lord Brahmaji said to Narada, purport, that his impression that Brahma was not the supreme authority in the creation was correct. Sometimes less intelligent men have the foolish impression that Brahma is the cause of all causes. But Narada wanted to clear the matter by the statements of Brahmaji, the supreme authority in the universe. As the decision of the Supreme Court of a state is final, similarly the judgment of Brahmaji, the supreme authority in the universe, is final in the Vedic process of acquiring knowledge. As we have already affirmed in the previous verse, Naradaji was a liberated soul. Therefore, he was not one of the less intelligent men who accept a false god or gods in their own ways. He represented himself as less intelligent and yet intelligently presented a doubt to be cleared by the supreme authority so that the uninformed might take note of it and be rightly informed about the intricacies of the creation and the Creator. In this verse, Brahmaji clears up the wrong impression held by the less intelligent and affirms that he creates the universal variegatedness after the potential creation by the glaring effulgence of Lord Sri Krishna. Brahmaji is also separately given this statement in the Samhita known as the Brahma Samhita 540, where he says, and if you know it, you can chant along. Yasya prabhapa bhavato jagaranda koti koti shvishesha vasudari vibhuti binam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutang govindam adi purushang tamahang vajami. I serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental bodily effulgence, known as the Brahma Jyoti, which is unlimited, unfathomed, and all-pervasive, is the cause of the creation of unlimited numbers of planets, etc., with varieties of climates and specific conditions of life. The same statement is in the Bhagavad Gita 14:27. Lord Krishna is the background of the Brahma Jyoti. Brahmanohi patishtahum. In the Nrukti or Vedic dictionary, the import of patishta is mentioned as that which establishes. So the Brahma Jyoti is not independent or self-sufficient. Lord Sri Krishna is ultimately the creator of the Brahma Jyoti, mentioned in this verse as Svaroshi Sha, or the effulgence of the transcendental body of the Lord. This Brahma Jyoti is all-pervading, and all creation is made possible by its potential power. Therefore, the Vedic hymns declare that everything that exists is being sustained by the Brahma Jyoti, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Therefore, the potential seed of all creation is the Brahma Jyoti. and the same Brahmajyoti, unlimited and unfathomed, is established by the Lord. Therefore the Lord, Sri Krishna, is ultimately the supreme cause of all creation. Aham sarva shri prabhuvaha. One should not expect the Lord to create like a blacksmith with a hammer and other instruments. The Lord creates by his potencies. He has his multifarious potencies. Parasya shaktir vividaya daiva shriyate. Just as the small seed of a banyan fruit has the potency to create a big banyan tree, the Lord disseminates all varieties of seeds by his potential, Brahmajyoti, Svarochisham, and the seeds are made to develop by the watering process of persons like Brahma. Brahma cannot create the seeds, but he can manifest the seed into a tree, just as a gardener helps plants and orchards to grow by the watering process. The example cited here of the sun is very appropriate. In the material world, the sun is the cause of all illumination. Fire, electricity, the rays of the moon, etc. All luminaries in the sky are creations of the sun. The sun is the creation of the Brahmajyoti, and the Brahmajyoti is the effulgence of the Lord. Thus, the ultimate cause of creation is the Lord. That's the end of the Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Vanchakal puturubhyascha kripa sindubhyebhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna. So thank you for giving us your association this morning. We'll try to speak a few words related to maybe a little bit to the verse, or at least hopefully to Krishna consciousness, by your blessings, your good wishes, which is the essence of our sustenance in Krishna conscious movement, is the mercy of other Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. So please tolerate if you can. Tolerance is a very important factor of our devotional practice. Srimad Bhagavatam class, at least today, being presented by this lowly self, is you may have to tolerate, but it's good to tolerate. Helps us to become more self-controlled. And we hope you've heard something, at least from Srila Prabhupada here. I don't know if anyone can remember anything. I asked one devotee on the way over here, because I'd never read the verse. I asked him what the verse was. And I said, I know who gave class yesterday. What was the class about? He said, I can't remember anything. I don't know if that's a common experience or... I mean, give credit to doubt, 24 hours has passed. That is an extremely long period of time. And, but sometimes we can't even remember what we said one sentence before. Does anyone remember anything from this purport? Other than it's a Srila Prabhupada's purport. Anyone remember anything? Well, I can see faces and hands are going up. Okay. You had your finger up first. Just one thing. He's not the primary. He's not the primary creator. Really? He's not the primary creator. Wow. That's interesting. I mean, it's a big breakthrough, isn't it? Of course, most people have never heard of Lord Brahma either. But in a sense, they do... go one step even down further, you could say. They may say the material energy is itself self-creating or eternally existing or whatever they say. There's no personality, not even a personality in the universe who is the creator. Okay, so even Brahmaji, according to the Vedic literatures and according to this purport, is the greatest authority in this universe, still he is not the creator. Okay, that's a very significant point, which isn't just one which you leave at Lord Brahma, because the mentality, as it's described at the living entity's entry into this material world, we develop false ego in contact with this material energy. But initially there's a perverted ego turning away from Krishna, and it becomes completely false by identifying ourselves as the doer, as the controller, and so on. In the Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say about somebody who thinks that they're the doer? They're bewildered. What is that verse? Come on. Gunai kamani sabhashaha. Ahankara vimudatma kata amiti. They're not just bewildered, they are a vimuda. You know what a vimuda is. What's a vimuda? It's not Bermuda, a vimuda. That's also people who are attached to Bermuda, they're also vimudas. Well, there's one there, I have a disciple who works in Bermuda, but they're not a vimuda. But this idea that I'm the enjoyer, that I'm the doer, I work so hard, and you can go on and on. So a very big fool, a very big fool, one who thinks himself the doer of activities when actuality are carried out by material nature. One who thinks himself the doer of activities, actually carried out by material nature, is simply a big fool. Mayadukshena prakriti sute sacharacha. When that material nature is going on under the direction of Krishna, it's not independent either. Materialists, persons, karma, monks, or philosophy, and so on, there is no cause beyond itself. And others may just say, well, here we see the cause is the all-pervasive Brahman, everything, the resting place of everything, you could say, some people say. But here we see another point. What's another point? Okay, Brahma's not the supreme cause, so is, yes? Sorry? You can't create seeds. Are you a gardener? You work in a garden? Do you work in a garden? No? We are very intelligent. Gardeners, do they create seeds? No, they plant them, do they? They plant seeds and they hope that they'll get some produce. They have to know the process. So, in a sense, Lord Brahma is a little bit like a gardener, huh? Of course, the seeds themselves may, in the sense of the word, we may recreate their own seeds as we see the universe. Everything is complete in itself, and all emanations from that complete are also complete. There's a cycle there, but the original starting point, you cannot create the original seed. Krishna says he is seed-giving father of all living entities. So Brahma, it's quite simple in this chapter, and this purport rather, he takes the seal, Krishna gives him the seeds. He doesn't just give him the seeds, he also gives him the intelligence what to do with the seeds. And he basically takes that potential energy according to the Lord's direction and puts it into practice, and one by one, of course, the material energy, material creation, its form unfolds. But the potential and all the various energies are created by the Lord, the empowerment comes from the Lord. Can someone give an example in our daily life? I can give many examples, come on. Simple example. How we take, well, we've given one, the farmer takes seeds, another one. Well, that's an interesting other angle of it, is that, yes, another way of looking at it. We have no idea, that's another aspect of this. We have no idea how it's going on. Huh? The fire of everything in our body. I was thinking this morning how this body, which we assume is me, it is me, isn't it? This body is me, isn't it? Is that right, Ananta? Is it me? You sure? Are you sure?
Not completely.
Not completely, yeah? Certainly we have a lot of philosophical points, and maybe they make sense, but sometimes we haven't kind of realized that knowledge, which is there, given in Shastra, Guru Shastra. So inside our body, fire of digestion is one prominent feature, which you want to call it that, but somehow or another, you put the food in the stomach and there's a fire there, right? It must be a fire. How else is it broken down? There's a fire of, people say, fire of digestion is very strong. Well, where's it coming from? Did we create it? Did we purchase it somewhere? Did we work very hard one day and discover and create a fire of digestion? Everything in our body is like that. We have sometimes no idea what's going on. It's incredible creation. It's like if we cut ourselves and, you know, without our knowledge, you know, there's a system in the whole, within moments, there's a whole system, whatever it is, but the intelligence immediately sends, beyond us, sends various substances to that place to counter the cut. Just like that, tune, without even knowing about it, is amazing. It's much more efficient than the fire brigade or the ambulance service which we have in our external worlds. It's incredible how this is going on. And it goes on normal situations with everyone. It's not just by chance with one person. Everywhere. It's quite incredible. Every single body, its construction is so amazing, like the universe, the cellular structure. Everything is so phenomenal. So phenomenal. But those who are envious of Krishna, of course, will do everything they can to find a way of denying that there's a personal source behind. Most unfortunate. One's missing the most, not just a philosophical truth, but it's one's missing the chance for what we're looking for. What's the point of life? What's the purpose of life? I was looking at a cat yesterday in the garden, quite a big one. I didn't know it was a cat till I got closer. It looked more like some kind of other animal. It's a big one out there, very furry, extremely furry. I was thinking, what's the point of its life? What's the purpose? It's just sitting there, looking, waiting for a mouse, I suppose, to appear out of the ground or garden or something. But it's like, you know, what's the point? And people aren't much different, really. Waiting, watching, working hard for it. The cat doesn't work very hard. It just sits there, basically, most of the time. We have to work damned hard to get a mouse, you know. And then you might not get it anyway. It's vimudas, we're fools. What else is there in this purport? Nothing. Time has passed. It's already 15 minutes. That's too long. Some of you have got the purport in front of you. You should be able to read, still be able to read something. Oh, very nice. Yeah. And how did he ask? Did he ask in a kind of a... What was his mood of asking? That's important to know. What was his mood? Good. He presented himself as less intelligent. His question was not a challenging one. He was, sometimes we may challenge when we ask our questions, and we hear that many times in when Prabhupada asks questions, that oftentimes a person challenges what Prabhupada is saying. That type of approach is not so, say, favorable. So, but Narada Muni's approach was he wanted to know. He wanted to clear up the matter, as Prabhupada said. Narada wanted to clear up the matter by the statements of Brahmaji. He accepted Brahma as his authority. What does Krishna say, or rather Arjuna say, in the second chapter, which Prabhupada says is basically speaking the mood that we should have? And more or less it starts the statements or the discourse, Krishna revealing to Arjuna the truth. So what is that verse in the second chapter where Arjuna has a similar approach like this? Karpanya dosha sabhava pichami dhamma samudha cheta yajaya nishchitam bruhitame shadimam tvam prapanam. Beautiful. Beautiful verse. Anyone know what it means? It's very nice. Any ladies know what it means? Let's see if I can see better without my glasses on. Anyone know what it means? Pardon? I'm confused about my duty. Yeah. Come on. What was that one?
In this condition, I'm asking you to instruct me what is best for me. I am I'm your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me.
Yeah, more or less, a soul surrendered unto you. Completely surrendered. Okay, questions should be there. It's not that there shouldn't be questions. We're not stones. We're supposed to be awake, eager to clear up any doubts, remove the clouds in our consciousness. So this particular here is a very important. Narada Muni is not that he's in ignorance. In his case, Krishna says in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Even one in knowledge acts accordingly to his nature. Why? You don't generally act according to your material nature to progress along in the evolutionary cycle or in one's consciousness, but Krishna says, even if you are already in knowledge, even realized knowledge, you still act according to one's nature. Why? Generally speaking, why? To set the example for those who are conditioned. So this material world is full of conditioned souls. That's what it is. We understand it. It's like a prison in a sense. And Lord Brahma is acting in this way. Lord Narada Muni specifically acting in this way to help us. We are confused about our duty. Anyone confused about their duty? I mean, in this world? We kind of theoretically know my duty is, what is our duty?
Serve Krishna.
Serve Krishna. But, you know, according to the way I think it should be. What I like to do. And I don't want to do what you want me to do. To certain degrees, that's there in most cases. Or there's some other misinterpretation of what it means to serve Krishna. Krishna's, I like black, therefore Krishna must will black. You know, sometimes we have this idea. Neophyte mentality, okay. Really, to serve Krishna is a little bit beyond that. It's totally, totally surrender. Whatever you want, my Lord. Not what I want. So, that's our ultimate duty. But we all know we're not quite there on that level of complete surrender. And in this world, various duties are they're allotted, although people don't always take their allotment. According to our nature, we have duties. And by performing those duties according to Shastic guidelines, one can gradually wake up and become free of the mentality of the vimuda, a fool who identifies with the body as a self, who's attached to this body, who still laments because of the bodily condition of life, etc. Takes time, but come free from that and realize our true identity, our spiritual identity. So Narada Muni is asking questions, relevant questions. Whole Bhagavatam is full of relevant questions. In the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, practically speaking, the first words of Sutta Goswami to the sages of Naimisharanya, what does he say in this regards? Munayo, Munayo, Bhavadbir, Yatkrita, Yenatma, combined forces there. What does that mean? Yeah, in a nutshell. They're for the welfare of the whole universe, every living entity. Why? They're very relevant, worthy questions. Why? Yeah, because they relate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or they bring everything in connection with the Supreme. Everything else is short of the mark. We're not fully satisfied. The soul, only questions of this sort are capable, in atma supersedity, of satisfying the soul. Otherwise, it's an eternal sojourn in this material universe. Or maybe to the Brahman. But one is still not complete without understanding one's relationship with Krishna. So these questions are to understand everything's relationship with the Supreme Lord. Even in the pastime, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, interestingly enough, this was the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada translated and commented on. Do you know what that chapter is called? Pardon? Brahma? Vimohana Lila. Yeah, well, that's the sense. What it translated as? What does he do? Yeah, the bewilderment of Brahma. But what does he do? That's the next chapter. That's the one. The next chapter, Prabhupada didn't completely translate that chapter. Some of the verses we see are elsewhere. Yeah, he steals the cows and the coward boys. Brahma steals the calves and the coward boys. That would be worded differently, but that's how it used to be. He steals them. Why? Pardon? To test him. Okay, to test Krishna. What type of test? We should try this out, you know, see how whether you pass the test or not. Okay. When we have things taken away from us, we see, you know, whether we're who we are, you know, our position, our health, our wealth, our everything. Then, you know, a little bit revelation sometimes. One devotee wrote so nice. You read that, I think, in Ukraine. That was it from Mariupol? You read it. Amazing. It was really stunning. So if you want to know more, ask Sutapa. When things are taken away from us, that's when the test is there. So, yes, he thought, let me see what's going on here. Huh? This is my God, this coward boy. He's pinching laddus from this other coward boy. Is this my God? I'm playing around like this. A little bit reverential. People have a hard time thinking this is God. Huh? We describe, we don't describe, but if you did, what do people think? Krishna's a little coward boy. Blue. Playing around in the forest with calves. When he gets a bit older, he has a few girlfriends as well. And be with people no one can understand. Krishna can do anything for his pleasure. So what did Brahma? He there's a long, many angles of looking at this. Yes, he certainly... Why did he test Krishna? Why? What reason? Why did he test him? We may know why we test each other sometimes, but why did he test Krishna? Very nice. Who said that? Let me put my glasses on. Thank you. Yes, there's something behind it. Now, you could say that from different angles, but he wanted to prove. The test, yes, to see is one thing, but he also wanted to prove that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not himself or Lord Shiva. So these questions of Narada Muni and others, for a similar reason, to help us to realize or to live our lives with this understanding and realize that Krishna is the supreme origin, the founding head of everything. Even Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita says in the very first verse, what does he say? He says Ishvara. Okay. Ishvara hum humbogi. Ishvara. I am the supreme controller. The supreme enjoyer. No, Ishvara what? Satchidananda Vigraha. Establishes that right in the beginning. In the beginning you make this establishment, then he expands on it in Brahma Samhita to further that principle that, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he has an eternal transcendental form, it's not material. And he's the origin of everything and the cause of all causes. Sarvakaranam Karanam. And this is Lord Brahma's business also, in a sense, internally, stealing the cows from the cowherd boys. Of course, there's another aspect to all of these pastimes. That did he really steal the cows from the cowherd boys? No. As you probably know, he didn't. That's another history. These cows and cowherd boys are not ordinary. They're also expansions, internal expansions, the internal potency. Cannot be touched any more than Sita could be touched by Ravanam, by anyone who's got a material concept or is not in that level of let's say, relationship, that bhava, mood. But nonetheless, externally, to prove and to show that even he, as the supreme authority in this universe, became bewildered and perplexed. There are many statements like that. When he went to Dwarka, he also became completely perplexed. And same thing, even in Braj, he also saw many forms of Lord. And in Dwarka, he saw many forms of himself, not of himself rather, but of Brahma. This mood of Brahma is within all of us, that I am the creator, I'm the doer, I'm the owner, is the nature of the conditioned soul in this world. And he saw millions of other Brahmas. Some of them had more heads than him. Imagine if you saw someone on the street. There you're going to Ealing Broadway today and having them some devotees. If you saw somebody walking along the street with 10 million heads. I don't know if you could see them. I can never work that one out, how it actually looks, you know. I mean, we understand another aspect of that, but 10 million heads. Somebody walking on the street with two heads would be quite a shock. Of course, you would expect there's some kind of gimmick or something. If they really had two heads or four heads, it would be quite something. But he saw other Brahmas. He thought it was the only one. Oh, I guess that's it. A couple of minutes. He saw hundreds of Brahmas coming, Shivas coming. And he's completely bewildered. Who am I? I'm just like a little insect in this pot. I don't know anything. What do we know? He was another revelation. Even if you're Brahma, what do we know? Krishna is unending, unlimited. There's so much to know. And we have to hear from somebody who knows him. Otherwise we won't get it. Won't get the real thing any more than a shadow. Ever try to enjoy a shadow or a reflection? It looks nice. You jump in, you've got a nice reflection on the water of some beautiful girl or boy or something. You jump in, what do you get? Pardon?
Wet,
yeah. That's all you get, wet. If you can't swim, you get a few other things happen as well. Or if there's some sharks in there. It might get a bit cold, who knows what will happen. But you won't get what you're looking for. You've got to go to the real. So Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, they're giving us a chance to get what we're really looking for. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. This is the, do you realize this is the 100th year of Srila Prabhupada's meeting his Gurudev? Is that correct, isn't it? 1922. And now we're 2022, is that right? It's still 2022. 100 years ago. We don't know the exact date, I don't think, but this year at some time. 100 years ago. Pretty far out. No one in the world knew, other than those little group there, anything significant was taking place. They're all absorbed. Thank God the Spanish flu, the pandemic's over. There was a similar situation now. And then war going on somewhere. Ireland's having problems with itself, England and this and that. So many things people are thinking about worldwide, but nobody, insignificant, who cares less? Nobody would have known. What a significant moment that was. The seed was planted. And Srila Prabhupada cultivated and distributed the fruits of that seed all over the world. It's such a powerful seed that it recreates. If you nourish the plant, it grows, bhakti, and then by contact with that bhakti, a bhakti awakens in others' hearts also. It's contagious, very contagious. Be careful. Yeah, and it's also, well, it's a very significant year for many reasons. Many of us, actually many devotees here in the British Yatra, devotees you know, Partha Prabhu, Vichitavira Prabhu, so many devotees took Diksha from Srila Prabhupada in 72. On Trafalgar Square, Prabhupada was there, on Trafalgar Square. First time he went, preached on Trafalgar Square. First fire yajna on Trafalgar Square, Rathayatra, July something, 1972. A big year. We need to remember this. We're just little tiny servants of the servants of the servants, servant, servant. To remember this and not get puffed up. Not get puffed up. It's easy to get proud. So I guess we have to finish there. I'm sorry I didn't prepare anything before the class, but Lord Brahma is giving us some special mercy. Narada Muni, Srila Prabhupada, giving us special mercy here. Prabhupada, one place says, we like to thank Narada Muni for appearing in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. We get his association when we hear attentively. So does anyone remember anything from the class? Good. The Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Lord, just like the rays of the sunshine. And that was another important point, wasn't it? By the rays of the sunshine, or by the sun itself, all of the luminaries are visible. Otherwise, they're not visible. If there's no sun in this universe, you'll see no moon, you'll see no stars, you'll see nothing. All dark. Yeah, so everything has, you can say it's enlightened or is visible by the rays of the sun, which is getting its rays from the Brahma Jyoti. And that Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Lord. Okay, that's another topic. Anything else you can remember? Yes.
Basically, the soul exchange you've got with the brother and the son, It's really a comment on the previous verses as well, that this exchange between Brahma and Narada is a very nice, very intimate, personal, loving exchange.
Mm.
He's very patiently taking all these questions, and then he wants to give him everything, you know. So gradually, you know, the children, they always say, and why? Why is that? And it's,
why?
Yeah, you know, they keep asking questions don't understand, isn't it?
Even if they do understand, yeah, they keep asking questions.
Yeah, but it's true. But still, it's there. And the patience of the father is the loving part, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't it? And that's what I see in Brahma, in this
nice
exchange.
Very nice.
With his son, Narada. And he goes on to reveal more and more.
Yeah.
But he's not thinking about himself. Brahma's not thinking about himself. It's a giving.
He's very patient. Huh?
Yeah, he's very patient.
God, I've got too many things to do. Go away, will you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I've got planets to look after. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. I've got internet. I've got so many letters on the internet. I can't keep up with it. Go away. My mobile phone, I've got 500, you know, WhatsApp messages to deal with. Yeah, what is relevant? What are we here for? To remember what we're here for. They remind us what the real purpose of this universe is and why we're in it and what we should do to get out of it. And there are questions. So we shouldn't just ask questions for the sake of it, but they should be. Many times Prabhupada say, keep to the subject, you know, I think of a question, something from somewhere else altogether, you know. Prabhupada, sometimes, but usually he wouldn't entertain, he'd say, stick to the subject, otherwise we'll never end, unlimited. Try to understand this one thing. So relevant questions. He'd ask a question, but he would carry on until that's cleared up. It's not that just a question and, okay, even if you don't understand the answer, you go to another subject, you know, like that. That's not so effective. Children can be like that oftentimes, eh? Just for the sake of it, you know, mind's no intelligence. But it's not, the questions are very relevant to everyone. The whole universe is benefited. And relishable, that's the other thing about it. The questions themselves are relishable. That's interesting. You might say to the person, if he's very excited, it might be relishable, but anyone who hears these questions becomes purified. Even before the answer comes. Questions themselves are related to Krishna, therefore they're, you know, transcendentally purifying. Questions and answers. Perfect hearer, perfect questions, perfect answers. Anything else from this purport or chit chat? Hey, Jan.
Hey Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the class. I had a question.
I don't know if we accept questions. you can make the question, we'll consider it.
Okay,
I'm not Lord Brahma.
So, Maharaj, as obviously we're talking about surrender, and you made this point subtly about how at times we say we're surrendered, but we are doing things that we want to do. You know, it's I'm doing what I want to do. And I was just this. Was something I've been thinking about, and I would like your advice on it, is that Krishna in the Gita says that this process is joyfully and blissfully performed.
Yeah.
So how do we understand it? Where is the bliss coming from? Is it just by doing what needs to be done, or is it by doing things that are more in tune with who we are? So we might work with what our nature is and what we enjoy and offer that. How do we understand where the bliss is coming from?
Yeah. Even in nectar devotion, we can read, I don't know the chapter title, but it's maybe 14 or something, that described there that naturally when a liberated soul, constitutionally speaking, is attracted to Krishna in certain ways. And naturally, I mean, this is all Krishna's, you could say, arrangement also, and for his own pleasure. There are different living entities who have a different flavors and tastes and moods and relationships and so on for Krishna's pleasure. But they're not thinking what I want, but they're naturally attracted to serve Krishna in such and such a way. And they can't act otherwise. Just like we've just had Ramnomi, for instance, and we were discussing Murari Gupta, who was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, a great friend of Lord Chaitanya, but he just couldn't get it together, you know, to give up his worship of Sita Ram for the worship of Radha Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya praised him for his chastity. That's his constitutional nature as servant of Ram. It doesn't fit anywhere else. It naturally develops. So that's on a liberated platform. The living entity naturally acts according to their eternal constitutional nature. And otherwise they won't... They're not wanting bliss, but bliss comes automatically in connection with Krishna. When one's harmonious, properly connected, then you get the loving relationship fructifies to its ever-increasing fullness. And if it's not, you won't feel it. But the living end is in this material world. Of course, we've forgotten. We're in an illusion of our identity. We're identifying ourselves with that which we're not, this material world. But still, the transformation of that, the same principle is there, the compatibility, harmoniousness. And even there, in Rupa Goswami said, even in this material world, one it would act according to one's nature favorably. So we have a conditioned nature. I mean, besides being in a human body, you know, an animal body obviously acts according to its nature. A human body, we have many different varieties of nature. In this very lifetime, we have many different varieties of nature within us sometimes. But as much as possible, one acts according to that nature under the direction of Shastra. So the secret is, we don't just act according to our nature, whatever that may be, but under the direction of Guru Sada and Shastra, and that gradually helps us to release us from this false identification. They may give different directions according to time and circumstance, but the principle is there. We follow that supreme authority, even though we're still attached to our work or our illusion or the fruits of our work, etc. We may still be attached. And you see, if you read the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that's kind of starting from that level of karma yoga, where our attachments are connected through the proper source, proper means, and we gradually become purified, released. We don't give up that necessarily in the beginning, but obviously after progressing, one will expect to rise up the yoga ladder to a more detached stage and so on and so forth, until we become attached to Krishna and realize our real constitution. But the living entity doesn't know how to utilize this material conditioning, what we're attached to, but the pure devotees do. The Shastra does, or at least it gives guidance. We may not know how to apply it, so we have to hear from somebody who's more mature how to apply these instructions. But we should be willing. In the beginning, we may not even think society itself provides a transformative environment to help people even without their knowledge, but in due course of time we should be willing to see that change take place and not just defend and maintain our acquired nature in this material world, but be willing to, it may stay there, but we'll be willing to change our identity with it, not that we're attached to it, not that we're identifying with it, but utilizing it in Krishna's service, using it as service, not being used by it or abused, using and abusing, but rather using it for Krishna's pleasure. We don't know it, but that's how the link with the parampara, that's what it's for, to learn how to become pleasing to Krishna. Everything is for that purpose. The creation itself is meant for that purpose, reformation. Reformation, to reform our perception. We're seeing things separately from Krishna, to see things related. It starts with basic little things. It's like you go on Sankirtan, someone gives one penny. I say that's the beginning of their reconnection with Krishna. One of them. somehow or another, that reform, spiritual reform, I don't know if that helps a little bit. But yes, if you have a particular nature, you'll naturally feel more comfortable if you're acting accordingly in the material world. It's only natural. A bird feels comfortable in the air, it doesn't feel comfortable underground usually, or in the ocean. And we feel more comfortable on the ground rather than the air or the ocean. Living entities, when they're rightly situated, even materially speaking, it may not be perfect, it may not be permanent, but they're naturally going to feel more at home, more effective. It's easier to relate to, you could say, direction and guidance. So Vedic society was developed like that, to try to help people to find their position, act accordingly, don't get too confused, and cultivate Krishna consciousness at the same time. Otherwise, we spend a lot of our time thinking about things we don't need to think about. What shall I do? Who am I? You know, how will I get money? How will I find a wife or a husband? Where am I going to live? How will I pay the mortgage on my car and house? And we spend a lot of our energy like that. Tremendous amount. Competition comes in. Lamentation. So many negative energies come in. With society, we arrange to make life as simple as possible for people according to their position, to get on with their lives, live simply, and cultivate Krishna consciousness. But it's not like that nowadays, practically. That's the Sankirtan movement. Whatever problems are there, there's Kali Yuga, there's an ocean of faults. Everything's faulty. So therefore, as we said at the rest, initiation of the day, even if everything is faulty, still, if the anusankirtanam tava, the chanting of the holy name, is performed, everything become faultless. So, whatever we're in, keep chanting the holy name of Krishna, more. Things can become cleared, purified. Our heart can become purified. And things, whatever situation we identify with, we can become clear of that. Heart becomes cleansed, Cheto Dharpana, marginal. Okay, we've got to finish there. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kuntaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Prema Nandi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.